Good morning. I want all of you guys to know what a pleasure it is for me to be here with you today. I enjoy coming here and seeing all of your faces. I enjoy the renewed relationships and the strengthening of relationships I receive when I come here. And you guys are just a tremendous blessing to me. So thank you for that. If you would open your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Our study is going to be from this text this morning. And while you're turning there, I just want to be completely honest with you. The lesson this morning is not easy at all. In fact, what we're going to study today and what we're going to talk about from this text is something that you're not going to want to do. Not one bit. It's something we're going to have to try and strive and overcome ourselves and overcome our desires and overcome really what feels like natural inclinations if we're going to do exactly what the Lord wants us to do. You're not going to want to do it. But hopefully after we've read what the Holy Spirit has to say, we'll be convinced that this is something we should do, even if it's not something we want to do. Romans 12, start with me in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It seems to me that in our world and in our culture, a lot of people spend a lot of time asking the wrong question. If you look out there in the world and you see somebody on TV or you hear somebody on the radio or you see some politician stand up, the question a lot of people seem to be asking is, how can we live in this world? How can we make this world into a place where people don't hurt each other? What can we do to make sure that no one ever offends anybody, no one ever hurts anybody, no one's feelings are ever hurt? What can we do to make sure that never happens? And they spend all their time, the political heroes and the culture heroes, spend their time asking that question and coming up with all kinds of different answers. Well, we can do this and maybe that person won't feel triggered, or we can do this and maybe that person won't be offended. If we do this, this person won't be hurt. All in a hope of creating a world where no one is ever hurt, no one is ever offended. You and I know the truth about that, though. We know that's a pipe dream. Now, we're never going to live in a world like that. And so it's a big waste of time to spend our days asking, how can we make sure no one ever hurts anybody else? The right question is this: how should I respond when someone hurts me? What is the right response? What is the proper response? What is the best response I can possibly give when someone hurts me? Because it's going to happen. And Jesus gives us the answer. Bless those who persecute you. Never pay back evil for evil. He sums it up in Romans 12 and verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul gives us the answer right here in Romans chapter 12. When someone hurts me, you answer that evil with good. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people would think that's a ridiculous proposition, because a lot of people in the world don't think that's right at all. A lot of the people in the world, they aren't going to do that. They aren't going to entertain that thought for a second. If someone hurts them, well, I'm going to hurt them back. You know, that's how they're going to respond to it. And we look out in the world and we see people who don't want to do this at all. But I think if we look inside ourselves, we see people who don't want to do this at all too. Look into your own life. Do you answer evil with good? Or do we sometimes let ourselves off the hook when it comes to that? And we tell ourselves when we let ourselves off the hook, when we answer evil with evil, when we refuse to do what it says in Romans chapter 12, we tell ourselves, I've got really good reasons for being mean to that person who was mean to me, for not doing what Jesus said, for not doing what Paul said. But when we read these verses, we learn that there are actually some really good reasons, really good reasons why we should answer every evil with good. And I'd like to give you three of those this morning. Three reasons I should always answer evil with good. Will you consider this with me? First of all, look at what he says in verse 17. Look at what Paul says in verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. The first reason I should never answer evil with evil, the first reason I should always answer evil with good is, and this is going to be a complicated point, okay? So follow me. Is because it's wrong to be evil to people. Y'all follow that? That makes sense to you? That's what he says here. It's wrong to be evil to people. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. That's not what a Christian is supposed to do. Now, that's not our knee-jerk reaction, is it? Our knee-jerk reaction, the first thing we want to do when we're offended, is to pay back evil for evil. That's what we want to do. We almost feel compelled to do it. Someone hurt me, so I'm going to send it right back to them. That's the way the world's supposed to work. Paul almost asks us to do something here that isn't very natural. We feel primed to respond to evil with evil. In fact, our bodies kind of prepare us to do exactly that. Have you noticed that you're kind of ready at the spur of the moment to give evil back to someone who gave evil to you? Have you noticed that? When someone cuts you off in traffic, first thing that hits your mind, right? How can I get around them as fast as I can, get in front of them, and then slam on my brakes? Anyone been there? Yes, yes, okay. We're almost primed to do it. Our heart rate increases. Adrenaline and testosterone are released, making you more powerful. You clench your fist and you shake. Our brains instantly begin working on ways to give somebody else evil for the evil that they've given me. That's the temptation. When someone is bad to me, when someone does me wrong, I need to do wrong to them to get them back for the evil that they did to me. But Paul says here that that's not how the Christian responds. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. For all that our bodies do to prepare us to give evil back to somebody, the scriptures prepare us to do exactly the opposite. He says in verse 14, Romans 12 and verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And that's actually something that I don't think I've picked up on before, right? It's not only that when someone does me wrong, it's not only that I'm not supposed to be evil to them, right? He goes a step further than that in verse 14. He says, when someone is wrong to you, when they persecute you, what are you supposed to do? Bless them. Oh, man. That's difficult. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, start reading with me in verse 38. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. These are the edicts of our Lord. This is the expectation of our Lord, that no matter the offense, no matter the persecution, no matter the wrong that's been done to me, I answer evil with good. That's what he expects. I wish I could understand that. And I wish that in my own life I was more willing to put that into practice. Paul says in verse 17 of Romans 12 to respect what is right in the sight of all men. That means you respect what is right when you're talking to somebody that's been good to you. You respect what's been right when you're talking to somebody you never met before. And you respect what is right. You do what is right even when you're talking to somebody that has hurt you more than anybody else in the world ever has. We answer evil with good. Because it's never right to be evil to another person. Good overcomes evil. How are you doing on that in your personal life? And I guess we could stop the sermon there, but I think there's a couple more compelling points that Paul wants to make in Romans 12. Go back there with me, if you will. Paul wants to say two more things to us, give us two more reasons we should always answer evil with good. Look at what he says in verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The second reason we always answer evil with good is because God has promised to make it right. You know, my desire to hurt somebody when they've hurt me, you know where that desire comes from? It actually comes from my God-given sense of justice. God put that sense of justice in me, that sense of equity, the sense that things should be fair, right? And we feel that ever since we're three-year-olds. You know, every three-year-old knows the words, that's not fair. And they can recognize that, right? And that sticks in us when we're 70 years old, right? We have that sense of justice. And when we're offended, we want to hurt other people because of that sense of justice. You hurt me, and now I'm suffering. Now I don't feel good, and you're sitting over there happy as a clam. That's unequal. And so I need to hurt you. I need to make you sad in order to balance things out a little bit. We feel that way. We desire that because of that God-given sense of justice. But if we keep a cool head long enough to read Romans 12, we learn that even when I have to be good to people who have been terrible to me, even when I have to do good to them, to somebody who's brought me so low, that sense of justice is satisfied because God has promised that He will repay. He will make things right. If someone deserves to get hurt, if someone deserves to be brought low, if someone deserves to have something bad happen to them for the way they've been acting, God says, you don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. You want a good example of that? Go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation 6, we see a great example of how God takes care of things. God makes things right when things are out of whack. Revelation is a book of images. And in Revelation chapter 6, this image comes to John. It is an image of all the saints who have been murdered by Rome. During this time, Christians were being slaughtered. They were being burnt at the stake. They were being crucified. Their blood was being spilt in the streets. And in that time, this image comes to John. Verse 9, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe. And they were told that they should rest a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed. Also, you get this image of all those saints who had been slain, and they're crying out to God saying, how long are you going to let this go on? All we're doing is we're sitting here in this Roman Empire. We're trying to serve you. We're trying to do what's right. And we're getting killed for it. How can you sit by and just let this happen? And what does God say? He says, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to make it right. I'm not going to let this persist. If you know anything about history and the Roman Empire, you know that God did sort that stuff out. God takes care of that stuff. And he tells you and me, he says, you stay out of it. You don't worry about being evil to people. If you feel like it's unfair, if you feel like someone deserves to be brought low, I'll take care of that. We answer evil with good. Because God has promised that he's going to make it right. He's going to set the ship straight. And I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you this morning. Maybe I'm not like you. Maybe I'm a little bit different, but I'm kind of glad God does that. I'm kind of glad that I don't have a single part of the vengeance process. Because since God has taken me out of that process, since I don't have to worry about being evil to anybody, that means my job as a Christian is very simple. My job is very basic. Be good to people. I got one job as I'm living that life on this earth. You just be good to people. Bless people. Be kind. Do good. That's my job. I don't have to make any decisions or judgments about who gets struck down or who gets hurt or who has a bad day. I don't have to sift through all of humanity and decide who deserves to have a good day and who deserves to have a bad day, who deserves to be treated nicely or badly. I don't have to do any of that. God has simplified my mission. And this is the mission he gave me and the mission he gave every single person who wears the name of his son. No matter what it is, no matter what they've done, no matter who it is, saved or lost, in this church, out of this church, family or unrelated, man or woman, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, cruel, terrible, ungrateful, or kind, whoever it is, whatever they've done, be good to them. That's my one job. How are you doing on that? Be good to everybody. Bless everybody. That's my one job. And you may not be like me, like I said. You may think I'm crazy. You may say, listen, Jonathan, I'd really like to be a part of that vengeance process, right? I'd really like to go out there and have God use me to bring people down. I'd really like to smack people for the way that they hurt me. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you'd like to be a part of that process. But I'd like to offer you one more piece of insight from the scripture that shows me why that's not actually going to work. Truth is, brothers and sisters, we aren't qualified to take vengeance, are we? We just don't know enough to be able to go out there and bring people down and lift people up based on what I know and what I think. I'm not qualified to do that job. If I've learned anything in my great many 26 years of experience, I've learned that taking vengeance is a sin that we commit in ignorance. Often we know very little about the person we take vengeance against. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know what has happened to them. And if we're really honest with ourselves, if we're really, really honest with ourselves, sometimes we're not even sure we have a good reason to be offended by what they did. Maybe I'm just being a little too sensitive that day. We aren't qualified to take vengeance. There's a reason that is left to an all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing God, and it's not left to me and you. That became very obvious to me a couple months back. There was a time when something had happened in my family. I'm sorry I have to be vague about this, but I do. There was a time when something happened to my little family, me, Leah, and Ellison, when we were offended. Someone did something that was totally out of line, and it couldn't stand, and a message had to be sent. My family needed to send a message to this person that what they did was unacceptable, that it wasn't going to be tolerated, and that we weren't going to stand for that, that they could not do what they did any longer. They made me mad. And I'll tell you what, I was getting ready to send that message, send that text. When I first told this story, someone told me, you should have called them, Jonathan, okay? My wife told me to text it, so you take that up with her. She says I'm more controlled when I have to write everything out. But I was upset, and I wanted to fill that text with all kinds of insults and all kinds of cut-downs. I wanted to verbally eviscerate this person because they hurt my family, and they deserve to be hurt for what they did to me. And thanks to the wisdom of my wife, who used the edit button. That is not what was in that message. There were no insults, no cut downs. We sent a very clear message, a very important message, that what happened was not going to be tolerated, but I'm happy to tell you that no sin was involved. There were no insults. No evil was given to the other person. And I'll tell you what, after I press send, there's a little part of me, maybe a bigger part of me than that, a little part of me who thought, they got off. They got off easy. They didn't get what they deserved. We should have insulted them. We should have done something evil to them because they did something bad to us and we should be able to hurt them back. They got off. It wasn't just, it wasn't right. That is, until a couple months later, when I realized, by one way or another, that the day they received that message was the day they attended their grandmother's funeral. Don't you know I was so glad that I did not fill that message with hate and insult. You see, brothers and sisters, we just don't know. We aren't qualified to take vengeance. We aren't qualified to bring anybody down, cut anybody down. And that is why our answer to evil is always good. We do that because God has promised that He will repay. God has promised that He will take vengeance if vengeance needs to be taken. And that's why we always answer evil with good. But let me say this finally. This is the third reason. The third reason Paul gives us why we should always answer evil with good. And it probably is the most important and the most powerful, the most applicable. Romans 12 and verse 20, read with me. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You want to know why we answer evil with good? It's because when we're good to people, it actually fixes problems. It actually achieves the desired result. I love what Paul says in verse 21. Will you look at that with me? He says, do not be overcome by evil. And that message is so powerful to me. Do you know what it means to be overcome by something? It means to be conquered. It means that they overpowered you. They rule over you. They have beat you. And Paul says, don't let evil rule over you. Don't let the evil that someone did against you dictate how you're going to behave. Don't let it overpower you. Don't let it tell you what to do. Don't let someone's bad behavior change how you're going to act. Instead, you overpower their evil by being good to them. A good deed, a kindness shown, overpowers the evil that has been shown to me. You and I both know this. It's fairly obvious, but sometimes we aren't willing to believe it enough to actually put it into practice in our own lives. You know that being mean to people doesn't actually fix anything? When was the last time you lashed out at your wife or your husband and it did some good in your marriage? Does that ever work? Hurting someone doesn't help a relationship. Lashing out doesn't accomplish anything but further destruction and devastation. What Paul teaches me through the Holy Spirit teaches me through Paul is that good fixes problems. Good actually makes the relationship better. Good actually brings peace. Look at what he says in verse 20. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. What he's saying there is that when you're good to somebody who's been bad to, when you're good to somebody who's been bad to you, it's going to make them feel ashamed of themselves. It's going to expose who they are to themselves. It's like putting a mirror in front of them and letting them see their imperfections. It's going to make them feel ashamed. There's a reason he talks about burning coals on the head. You ever been in trouble? You ever been ashamed of something? I got called to the principal's office twice. Just twice. But I remember that feeling. Jonathan Bennett at the principal's office now, right? And then your head gets hot. And then you start to feel a little bit dizzy. And your cheeks get flush. It's because you're ashamed of yourself. And you know you did wrong. And you felt that too when you get called into your supervisor's office. Or when you're a kid, you got called into your parents' room. You knew you did wrong. You started feeling that shame. Your head started feeling hot. And Paul says, when you're good to people who've been bad to you, that's how they feel. That's how they feel. His point here is not, you know, be good to people who've been bad to you because it's going to hurt them so much worse if you're good to them. The point is that if you're good to people who've been bad to you, it's actually going to fix your relationship. It's actually going to make things better. Hurting people doesn't do anything but destroy. When we're good to people, it makes them feel ashamed. It exposes them to themselves. And it helps to bring peace in our relationship. And I can't promise you that that's always going to happen. But I can promise you that it's all we can do to be at peace with people. And that's all we're required to do as Christians. We answer evil with good. So our application this morning becomes something that is extremely hard and challenging and something that we don't want to do. But something that I hope the Holy Spirit has convinced us with these three reasons we should do. When someone is evil to me, I never respond in kind. I never respond with evil. But I answer their evil with good. Are you willing to do that? How are you doing on that in your own life? Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the third time I've preached this sermon. And that is not any easier now than it was when I first preached it. It's hard, but it's what he calls us to do. And when someone does wrong to me, I literally, actively go out into the world and I don't just find some way not to pay them back evil. I find some way to lift them up. I find some way to do them good. I find some way, after they've made my life worse, to make their life better. When your husband neglects you, make him his favorite meal for dinner that night. Last time I preached that, someone literally laughed out loud when I said that. When your wife is rude to you, bring home flowers. When your friend is disloyal to you, make doubly sure that you are loyal to them. When your sister cuts you down or gossips behind your back, run around the church building singing her praises. When your employer chews you out for something that wasn't even your fault, thank him for your employment. There are a multitude of other things we could say, but that is in essence what we are being taught by our Lord and Savior, that we answer evil by being good to people. And someone may wonder, if I continue to be good to someone who's mean to me, I'm going to be used and abused for my entire life. They're just going to continue to be treating me bad. And nothing's ever going to get better. They're going to hurt me and hurt me and hurt me. And nothing's ever going to change because I haven't done anything. I haven't counterpunched. I haven't told them that it's going to hurt them if they hurt me. I have to fight back because if I don't, I'm just going to be used and abused for my entire life. Well, that's not true. That's not how it works. Let me give you three reasons why that's not how that works. Number one, God said, I'm going to sort it out. Don't you trust God? Number two, Scripture says that's not how it works. Don't you trust Scripture? And number three, I think we all ought to remember this. That's not what happened when Jesus answered my evil with his good. When I rebelled against heaven and against my Lord, Jesus responded with good. He came to this earth and died for people while they were in open rebellion against him. And because he did that, every single one of us are here this morning praising his name. We're all doing that because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, set the example and answered our evil with good in the first place. As Christians, we answer evil with good. Maybe you need some help with that in your own life. I'm sure the elders and any of the members here would be willing to help you do that, help you change your way, help you find out how to be good to those who treat you wrong. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've never taken advantage of the ultimate good that Jesus did for mankind, and you'd like to be baptized this morning. If you believe in Jesus, are willing to confess his name, and repent of your sins, you can be baptized in water and have those sins washed away. Live the rest of your life serving him and doing good works for him. If we can help you with that as well, please come to the front. We'll help you as we stand and ask.